Back in 2009, I was doing my thing, running my cultural center in North Orange County, the Muckenthaler Cultural Center. We had great programs going on. We had just started an outreach program for outreach education and other sites around North Orange County. We had a couple of sites going. It was great. Then I was driving home one day and I heard on NPR News a story about a new program called STEAM. I looked it up. I found out that back in the 1990s, STEM was formed as an acronym by the U.S. National Science Foundation. It stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, and by the turn of the century became a priority in schools nationwide, after studies showed that our students were falling behind the rest of the world in STEM subject areas. I knew about STEM, but in my research, I didn't realize how huge the difference was between the U.S. and other countries. In 2015, the U.S. came in 35th in the world in math education and 27th in science, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. And that was all study of 15-year-old students across the world. Only 29% of Americans in a Pew Research study rated our country as being good at STEM. So not only were we still bad at STEM, but we knew it. In the early 2000s, other studies showed how America's losing its creative edge on the rest of the world. I knew that. I was there in 1990 when arts was pulled out of the schools as a subject area and became an elective. Only schools that had strong PTA associations were getting the arts. So in poorer schools and in other schools that just didn't care, the arts was just not being taught anymore. We've always been the place that invented things. The computer, rockets, phones, you name it. Technology always started in the U.S. It may have been perfected in Europe or Asia, but it started here. We were the innovators. In 2004, Harvard Business Review published an article on America's looming creativity crisis. This and other articles made the case that America was no longer cranking out creative geniuses and that creative jobs were being lost to other countries. CEOs started complaining that America's college grads were unhirable because of their lack of creativity and competitive spirit. A generation has been raised in America with a lack of creative out-of-the-box thinking and a philosophy that everybody gets a medal for participating. Yay! Now, American millennials are losing jobs to kids from other countries who are brought here as guest workers to work on the next Avatar movie or create systems for the space exploration vehicles. We have lost our edge. While all this is going on, America's greatest exports have become arts, design, and entertainment. Films and video games, websites, and apps are all being made here and shipped overseas. It's the second largest employer in the state of California behind only healthcare, presumably to take care of those aging baby boomers who invented all the stuff that we export. The U.S. Department of Labor said that 65% of the jobs that our kids are going to be doing when they get out of college haven't even been invented yet. Most likely, these jobs will be some combination of technology and design. Degrees that we thought were wastes of time when I was in school are now highly prized. Remember when your parents said, hey, don't get a job in the arts, get a real job. Now the arts is the real job. People are getting a couple hundred thousand a year for working as a video game designer because they have a master's in mythology. It's a new world. So after hearing this report on NPR, I did a little more research and I found out that STEAM was developed in 2006 by Georgette Yackman, who was then a master's student at Virginia Polytechnic in their STEM Institute. If we teach STEM subjects through the arts, we can create an educational platform that works more closely with future jobs, integrating art and technology. We may even make dense subjects lighter and more fun in the process. By 2011, STEAM had become a national movement, with pilot projects popping up everywhere. And I'm proud to say, because I acted on that report back in 2009, planning out STEAM programs, that we were among the first in the country to do this. Hello and welcome to Art in Other Places, brought to you by the Muckenthaler Cultural Center in Fullerton, California, the certified course in nonprofit management available online at the California State University Long Beach and California Polytechnic Institute in Pomona, and the book, The First 100 Days, Leading Small Nonprofits Out of the Wilderness, available at Amazon. Music for these podcasts is given with permission by our good friends, Janet Klein and her Parlor Boys, Grupo Falso Baiano, and Trio AS. Please check out their music on iTunes and on their websites. I'm your host, Zoot Velasco. Because I acted on that report back in 2009, planning out STEAM programs, that we were among the first in the country to do this. The programs have proven to be very effective. This year, STEAM, which is an acronym for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math, meaning that STEM is being taught through the arts and including creativity as part of the process. It was included in the new Every Child Succeeds Act passed by Congress and signed into law this year by President Obama. Soon, everyone will be doing STEAM. At the Muckenthaler, we started with a pilot program in 2011 with a school in La Habra. This was a middle school that had been failing due to poor test scores, and a visionary new principal named Kathy Siegert. She partnered with us to change the school into an arts magnet school. Immediately, test scores started rising quickly. And our STEAM program taught the 7th grade physics standards by helping kids animate the laws of physics while learning animation as well. We partnered with the Chuck Jones Center for Creativity, run by an innovative guy named Craig Clausen, who was Chuck Jones' grandson. And he helped us with the animation part of the program. Soon, the kids knew how to do whiteboard animation and were animating the laws of physics on stop-motion iPad apps. The next year, we were asked to be part of a second school district in Fullerton Schools, and we designed 4 new STEAM programs for 6th through 8th grade. Fullerton has an innovative principal named Dr. Robert Pletka, who's quite a visionary and has been able to create a gamification of education. He has partnerships going on across the region and with Apple to have the kids create avatars and make learning into a video game. We're thrilled to be partnering with him on these innovative programs. La Habra added new STEAM programs for 4th and 5th grade. So today, we have 12 STEAM programs and 2 in development for 4th grade through high school. Our programs work across standards to bring arts into other subjects. 4th graders learn about Native American cultures through clay pot building and Native geometric designs. 5th graders learn how printing and political cartooning changed the American Revolution and learn how to do analog printing on a historic 200-year-old press. 6th graders learn about plate tectonics from a professional storyteller, telling them the ancient stories of earthquakes and comparing it to the science. For example, did you know that in Japan, the ancients believed that earthquakes were caused by giant catfish burrowing underneath the island of Japan? The modern science is that catfish are actually early predictors for earthquakes. A group of Japanese scientists have found that catfish move about 10 times per day. They're very sedentary animals. But when an earthquake happens, an hour beforehand, they can move up to 60 times. So maybe the Japanese ancient ones were noticing that the catfish were moving a lot and thought they were causing the earthquakes. So through this program, we find out that the ancient ones were observational scientists, too. It's a great way to learn a difficult subject. Other STEAM programs teach tactile arts like painting, modeling, and photography, and then compare them to their digital cousins in Magna Studio, Photoshop, and 3D modeling and printing. Currently, we are at 45 sites in 11 cities in North Orange County, teaching over 15,500 students last year. Some of our students have little or no access to computers and are far behind the digital divide as we work with UN refugees, foster care students, homeless youth, and others. Thanks to grants from the California Arts Council, Act Anaheim, led by Disney, Angels and the Ducks, through the Orange County Community Foundation, and others, we're able to reach these populations. STEAM, for them, is more than just being able to get an arts program. We are closing the digital divide and providing job skills that they can use, as well as giving them incentive for college. Our school sites are a beehive of activity, as kids are sponges to take in everything we have to give. They use the computers as if they were an extension of their bodies. In no time, they are designing magazines and comic books and printing professional-looking products. I visited two of our most challenging sites. I was thrilled to see my STEAM programs that I designed working with our most at-risk populations. One site is in West Anaheim. Anaheim is a city that was built around Disneyland in the 1950s. A massive infrastructure of small motels cropped up in the 50s and 60s for tourists. In the 1980s, new high-rise hotels came in, and many of the older hotels fell into disrepair. By the 1990s, these older motels became a haven for people who were living in very low income on the verge of homelessness. People who could not afford an apartment with security deposit, first and last month's rent. They only could afford a room in one of these rundown motels. It wasn't long before they became a magnet for crime and drugs. The phenomenon was featured in the HBO documentary, The Motel Kids of Orange County. Orange County has an average income of $85,000 for a family of three, but in small pockets of the county from Santa Ana to South Fullerton, the average income is closer to $30,000 for a family of five. The two neighborhoods that we work in Anaheim are among the lowest income areas of the county. West Anaheim has many of these near homeless kids from motels and a recent immigrant population from Muslim countries in what is called Little Arabia, one of the largest Muslim immigrant areas on the West Coast. The class that I visited today is a mix of low-income Latino families and recent immigrants from African and Middle Eastern countries. I talked to a 19-year-old from Sierra Leone who came here as a child to avoid being a child soldier.
So, Mark, do you have a computer and Wi-Fi at home?
No, I have neither.
So it's important for you to come to the library then, huh?
Yes.
And if you didn't have programs like this, you wouldn't have any access to this kind of computer, right?
Right.
Are you going to college?
Yes.
Community college?
Yes.
For what?
Humanities and arts.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this kind of fits in with what you're studying at school then, huh?
Yes.
What is it you think you might want to do when you get out of school?
I want to be a comic book artist.
Oh, like Kwesi.
Oh,
that's
really?
What he does for a living, the guy who's teaching you.
Oh.
Why is it lost?
Nice.
We just left the STEAM workshop at the Haskett Branch Library here in Anaheim, one of the two sites that we have for our STEAM program in Anaheim with the ACT program. And I'm here with my Chief Educational Officer, Stephanie Bobadilla, who runs all of our education programs, and we just did our site visit. So you know what surprised me, Stephanie, is the range of kids that were in there. So you have the one girl who is drawing anime, and there was one boy too that's drawing anime like pros, and they have Wi-Fi at home and computers at home, and they're in computer programs at school, and they're, you know, really advanced. And then you have the two kids from Africa who are, the one kid has no computer at home, he's got no Wi-Fi at home, he's in community college, so he's probably, I don't know if he's living on his own or living with his parents, and they don't have a lot of money, but obviously he doesn't have access to anything digital, and so this is a big thing for him, because, you know, when they asked who knows Photoshop, only two hands went up in the room. So they obviously way behind the curve. If you ask that even in Fullerton or any school district that has, you know, some money, every hand in the room's going to go up that they've at least played around with it. So that was kind of interesting to me to see the broad range, and that there are still kids in the world that have no access to computers or internet at home. And that kid's a community college student majoring in art. And this is his only chance. Coming to the library is his only chance to get access to the things he needs for his schooling.
It's nice to see the effort, too, that they are the ones getting themselves here. And both of the boys from Africa, they are consistent. And they come and they enjoy the program. And then to see them interact, not just on a program viewpoint, but just on a personal level with each other, it's so interesting because we have... Like I mentioned, the boys from Africa, and then we have a homeschool student that comes, and he never gets to get up, but his mom allows him to come to these programs. So to hear them talk and share their day and share their experiences, it's really interesting to see. And then to see the one girl who has not touched Photoshop before, she's fantastic. She's fantastically skilled in her traditional drawing and painting, but then when she was showing me her digital skills, she has no prior experience, and this is the second time that she has seen a digital program. So she was in a whole nother world today.
A Muslim boy and Latino boy who might be rivals on the streets become close friends over anime projects that they design on their screens. I can see barriers being knocked down and kids getting a leg up. The next day, I visit a program the Muckenthaler has with Crittenden Services, a local foster care agency. They run a group home and school for girls who have lost their placement in regular foster homes because of undiagnosed disabilities, pregnancy, sexual activity, criminal activity, or other factors that might make placing them hard. These girls are hardened by life and have been bounced through a very tough system. But if one takes the time to talk to them, one will discover that inside is a young girl crying for help and missing many opportunities. Crittenden does an amazing job of trying to get these young women back on track and getting them help before they emancipate or move on to another stop in the system. Many have been in juvenile hall. Some have new babies in tow to care for when they can barely care for themselves.
Ooh, I want some burger shit.
I want some chicken nuggets.
You're busy right now, right? Why don't you three come over here and let me show you what I want you to do real quick, okay?
Our program is harder here. It moves more slowly. In many ways, these 16-year-old girls look at a computer the way a 70-year-old man looks at it. The enemy. Something difficult to learn. Can't we just get the regular arts programs back, they say to me, because they don't want to have to learn something hard like a computer. Here, the first job is getting them to even open it and use it. Two of the class's 12 girls are well into painting on their screen. Two others want to give up. These girls may not be at a level of our regular school kids. They may not be ready to get a job designing for the web, but they are learning skills that may open up a door and make that computer a friend in the future. If we don't find a way to reach these girls here, they may end up wards of the state for life. It's easy to look at programs like these and see them as frivolous. It's just another little art class. But for some, these classes are life-changing. It's a step up to demystifying the computer and closing that digital divide. It's a step towards college and job skills. It's a step to new friendships and avenues away from gangs and drugs. It's also the future, and the future is here and now. In my free time, I mentor some students that are part of Cal State Fullerton's Rotaract Club. One of those students is Veronica Mendoza. She's a product of our public school system in Los Angeles, and I told her about our STEAM programs to get her reaction. Here's what she said.
While in high school, I wish I was introduced to more Photoshop and design classes, 3D printing, just because now that I'm in college, I realize that a lot of the jobs out there require those skills, and it definitely makes you stand out in the job market.
To find out more about the Muckenthaler and our STEAM programs, go to mucksteam.org or our own website, themuck.org, where you can take a virtual tour of all of our programs at themuck.org/virtual tour. To find out more about STEAM programs, just use Google. They're everywhere. STEAM is the future of education. Art in Other Places is sponsored by my other favorite projects that I do when I'm not making podcasts. I run the Muckenthaler Cultural Center in Fullerton. We have festivals, performances, an art gallery in a 1924 National Registry Historic Mansion on 8.5 acres of grounds. We have wedding rentals as a social enterprise for our arts education programs, which we do in 70 sites in 11 cities throughout North Orange County in shelters, hospitals, prisons, and elsewhere. You can find out more at themuck.org. I'm also busy teaching at Cal State Long Beach and Cal Poly Pomona in their Extension Online Programs Teaching Nonprofit Management Certificated Course. You can check it out at Cal State Long Beach and Cal Poly Pomona Extension Courses online. Also, you can check out my book, The First 100 Days, Leading Nonprofits Out of the Wilderness, available on Amazon.com. Music for this podcast is provided by Trio AS. That's TRIOELLAS. Check them out on their website and their Grammy-nominated music online. Also, Grupo Falso Baiano, wonderful Brazilian choro band of Northern California. And Janet Klein and her Parlor Boys. All their music is available online. Thank you to Trio AS, Grupo Falso Baiano, and Janet Klein and her Parlor Boys for the gift of their music for our podcast. This is Zoot Velasco. I'm your host. Thank you for visiting art and other places. Have a great day.